From Jakarta, Indonesia, here is Voice of Indonesia with English program, presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id and at RI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, commentary, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz.
Here is the news for the headlines. The first INASCA Business Forum officially opens. Indonesia hopes ASEAN will be more responsive to development issues. Hamas praises October 2023 attack ahead of anniversary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where for the first time, the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs held the Indonesian South and Central Asia INASCA Business Forum 2024 in Jakarta on Monday. Vice Minister of the Ministry, Pahala Nugraha Mansuri, in his opening speech, said the forum is aimed to deepen the collaboration and cooperation between Indonesian and South and Central Asian businesses. He hoped the forum could be held annually to foster collaboration and stimulate economic growth between Indonesia, South ASEAN, and Central Asian countries.
We hope that the INASCA Business Forum will be an annual event to foster collaboration, to stimulate economic growth, and also to achieve collective partnership. As mentioned already before, the theme of today's business forum is how are we going to be able to unlock the potential and also to develop a much deeper collaboration between Indonesia and South and Central Asia.
Vice Minister Mansuri highlighted that the forum is held amidst a difficult global economic situation, including climate change, economic downturn, and geopolitical tension across the globe. Despite the challenges, Mansuri sees that there are immense opportunities between Indonesia and South Central ASEAN countries due to their positive economic growth and enormous market potentials. He hoped that Indonesian, South ASEAN, and Central Asian countries could develop partnership in areas such as renewable energy, agriculture, food, health equipment, and pharmaceutical. Indonesian Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs expect the Association of Southeast ASEAN Nation, ASEAN, to be more responsive to development gap issues in the region. As reported by Antara State News Agency, in its statement on Monday said that the Ministry's Deputy for International Economic Cooperation, Edi Priyo Pambudi, expressed optimism that the region would carry out more action in responding to development issues. Pambudi, who led the Indonesian delegation at the 44th and 45th ASEAN Summit in Vientiane, Laos, this week, remarked that they have many initiatives for the sustainability agenda, but what is more important is how to formulate a strategic action plan to carry out these various initiatives. Pambudi also congratulated Laos on its 2024 ASEAN chairmanship. He said there have been many positive achievements, but there are several initiatives that need to be paid attention to in the future, such as strengthening the tourism infrastructure, paying attention to geopolitical and geoeconomic issues, and identifying potential cooperation with ASEAN partners. Indonesian Ambassador to Kenya Muhammad Heri Saripudin highlighted the increasing cooperation between Indonesia and Kenya at a diplomatic reception on Friday. As reported by Antara News Agency in a statement on Sunday, Heri said that various bilateral agreements had been implemented, including 15 memorandums of understanding signed during Indonesian President Joko Widodo's visit to Kenya in August 2023. Heri claimed the success of the second Indonesia-Africa Forum IAF in Bali and the second Indonesia-Nairobi Expo Indonex in September in concrete evidence of collaboration between the two countries. At the event, Kenya's Minister of Mines and Blue Economy, Hassan Ali Joho, praised the 1955 Asia-Africa Conference, AAC, as a milestone for South-South cooperation. Hassan also appreciated the second Indonesia-Africa Forum, which encouraged concrete cooperation in various fields such as sustainable green energy, blue economy, vaccine development, and handling climate change. Indonesia's National Research and Innovation Agency, BRIN, in conducting biorespecting research on land snail slime to support the development of the national cosmetic industry. As reported by Antara News Agency, in a statement on Sunday, researchers at Agency's Center for Applied Zoology's research, Pamungkas Rizky Ferdian, explained that bioprospecting involves exploring biological resources for commercial purposes. He noted that this exploration is crucial for boosting the economy through the cosmetic sector, which is seeing growing global demand for products made from natural ingredients. Ferdian mentioned that some cosmetic products contain land snail slime, which is said to have active compounds such as allantoin, glycolic acid, and natural antibacterials that are beneficial for skin health. He said cosmetic products from land snail slime have been produced in several countries, including South Korea, with positive market responses. However, Ferdian warned that exploiting natural resources without considering sustainability could lead to species extinction and ecosystem damage. Therefore, he emphasized the importance of developing technologies in Indonesia to breed land snails and extract their compound-rich slime without disrupting wild population. Let's move on to the international news, where the Palestinian resistance group Hamas on Sunday praised its attacking operation on Israel in a video message ahead of the first anniversary of the deadly storming of southern Israel, which sparked the war in Gaza Strip, Palestine. As reported by AFP, Qatar-based Hamas member Khalil Al-Hayya said in a video statement that the operation, which he said was glorious, shattered the illusions Israel had created for itself, convincing the world and the region of its supposed superiority and capabilities. Al-Hayya also said a year after the attack that all of Palestine, particularly Gaza, and its people are writing a new history with their resistance, blood, and steadfastness. The member, who has emerged as Hamas' public face following the killing of its former leader Ismail Haniyeh, reiterated Hamas' position that Israel had obstructed a truce in Gaza. AFP noted that the attack resulted in the death of more than 1,200 people, mostly civilians. In contrast, at least more than 41,800 Palestinians, a majority of them civilians, have been killed in Israel's military campaign in the Gaza Strip after the attack. The Chinese embassy in Pakistan on Monday said that the massive blast on Sunday that targeted a convoy of Chinese workers in Pakistan's largest city, Karachi, killed their two nationals. As reported by AFP, the embassy said that two Chinese had been killed on a convoy of personnel from the Chinese-funded Port Kasim Power Project, while one Chinese and several Pakistani citizens were wounded. Meanwhile, Pakistan's Ministry of Foreign Affairs said in a statement on Monday that it reaffirms its commitment to the safety and security of Chinese nationals. Previously, a tanker exploded on the airport motorway in the port city of Karachi on Sunday night. Pakistani separatist group Baloch Liberation Army, BLA, claimed the attack and said it had targeted a convoy of Chinese engineers and investors. Karachi's borders, Balochistan province, where billions of dollars have been funneled into transport, energy, and infrastructure projects as part of the China's Pakistan's Economic Corridor, CPEC. The separatists are waging a war of independence against the state, which it accuses of permitting unfair exploitations of resources by outsiders in the region. Saudi Arabian royal court said the country's head of state, King Salman, underwent medical tests on Sunday. As reported by Saudi news agency SPA, King Salman underwent the test due to lung inflammation. The 88-year-old king has been on the throne since 2015, though his son, Mohammed bin Salman, 39, was named crown prince in 2017 and act as day-to-day ruler. For years, Saudi Arabia has sought to quell speculations over King Salman's health. As reported by AFP, the monarch well-being is rarely discussed, but the royal court disclosed in May that he was undergoing a treatment program involving antibiotics after he was admitted to the hospital for tests and had recovered soon after. Before that, he was hospitalized in May 2022 when he went in for a colonoscopy and stayed for just over a week for other tests and some time to rest. King Salman, who is titled custodian of the two holy mosques, previously served as Riyadh governor for decades and also as defense minister. Listener, now let's move it on to commentary for today.
Here is today's commentary on 1 year of Hamas resistance, Middle East conflict expands. I'm Dalat Pane. The 7th of October 2024 marks 1 year since the Palestinian Hamas militant attack on Israel. This attack became a history of resistance by the Palestinian fighter groups against Israeli atrocities that have been going on for decades. The conflict between Israel and countries in the Middle East has begun since Israel's declaration of independence in 1948 and is deeply felt by the Palestinian population who live side by side with Israel. Since then, Israel has continued to try to expand its territory by gradually seizing and controlling Palestinian territory. This is what triggered the prolonged conflict between Palestine and Israel. Hamas' attack was then responded by Israel on a large scale. Airstrikes and ground troop mobilization were launched on Gaza, which is believed to be the command base of Hamas militants. Throughout the year, the Israel Defense Forces, IDF, launched attacks that not only targeted Hamas militants, but also killed civilians, children, and women. Israeli attacks also targeted hospitals, refugee camps, mosques, markets, and educational facilities. Targets that should not be touched in a war. More than 41,000 Gazans have died as a result of Israel's relentless and indiscriminate attacks. Almost all Gazans have been forced to flee amidst the scarcity of medicines, food, and clean water to the blockade. What Israel has done has not gone unanswered by the world. The UN has continued to press for a ceasefire in various sessions and statements. Even the International Court of Justice has ordered Israel to take all measures to prevent genocide against Palestinians in the Gaza Strip and to ensure the distribution of humanitarian aid to the population in the region. Neither the world's reactions, including the UN, nor the International Court of Justice decision has made Israel stop its inhuman actions against Gaza. The UN Security Council, with so-called power to stop wars in the Middle East, has done nothing. No agreement has been reached by the Security Council, which is the most influential institution in the UN, regarding the resolution of the Palestinian conflict. As a result, many responses have emerged that doubt the Security Council's commitment to world peace and even encourage reform efforts this councils. Perhaps many people think that the Gaza conflict is caused by Hamas attacks 1 year ago. But in reality, the attacks were an accumulation of anger due to the Israel's actions that continuously pushed for territorial expansion and continued provocation efforts. Entering 1 year since the Hamas attacks, the world community witnessed that this war has spread to Lebanon. Lebanon-based Hezbollah decided to support Hamas' resistance in Palestine by launching attacks on Israel. On the other hand, Israel also responded to Hezbollah's attacks by land and air so that victims are including civilians. Many parties, including Indonesia, view two-state solution between Israel and Palestine as the only solution for peace in the Middle East. This has also been stated in the UN General Assembly resolution. But the implementation of this solution is still very far from expectations. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. We begin today in history with October 7, 1950, when Mother Teresa founded the Missionaries of Charity. On October 7, 1950, with permission from the Vatican, Mother Teresa founded a new order in Calcutta called the Missionaries of Charity. The order aims to help the poorest and most marginalized, including the homeless, lepers, and those who suffer without love or care. Starting with 13 members, the Missionaries of Charity now thrive with thousands of sisters and brothers carrying out missions in more than 100 countries. They establish shelters, homes, orphanage, and care center for the sick and abandoned. One of Mother Teresa's first mission was to establish a hospital for the dying in Calcutta, where people could die with dignity according to their faith or religion. Let's move it on to October 7, 2001, when the United States invaded Afghanistan. On October 7, 2001, the United States began an invasion of Afghanistan in response to the 11th of September terrorist attack carried out by the Al-Qaeda group. This war was part of the War on Terrorism campaign by the United States, supported by allies. The main objective of the invasion was to capture Al-Qaeda's leader Osama bin Laden and punish the Taliban for providing protections to the group. Although the Taliban regime had been overthrown, but Osama bin Laden could only be captured and killed in Pakistan in 2011. In 2021, the United States announced that it was withdrawing from Afghanistan. Since then, the Taliban regime, which could not be crushed, has regained control of Afghanistan. We entered in history on October 7, 2023, when Hamas fighters in Palestine invaded Israel. On the morning of October 7, 2023, the Palestinian fighting group Hamas launched a massive invasion of Israel from the Gaza Strip. Ranks of Palestinian fighters broke through the Gaza-Israel's border wall and forced entry through the Gaza border crossing. Hamas also fired 5,000 rockets and named this operation as Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. More than 1,000 people were killed, thousands were injured, and hundreds of people became hostages as a result of this attack. This attack was Hamas' resistance attack against Israeli atrocities that continue to push for territorial expansions into Palestine. This attack was responded by Israel with the declaration of war and launched Operation Iron Sword to the north of the Gaza Strip, Palestine. Israel held an air artillery raid that targeted many places, including residential buildings and hospitals. Until 1 year of Israel's counterattacks, the Palestinian death toll reached more than 41,000 people and caused almost all Gazans to flee due to lack of food, medicine, and clean water due to the blockade. Although efforts have been made by various parties, but until now there is no sign that the war will stop.
Biar kita tinggal di angkasa, bersama selama-lama-lama-lamanya. Beralas awan berpayung Tuhan tetapi selalu lebur. Biar kita jadi doa yang nyata, bermuara pada lapang yang indah.
jadi satu. Biar di telapak kakimu halus dan kuat melaju. Biar di peluk ibumu kekal wangi tanpa rindu. Biar di bawah kasurmu mimpimu siap terbangun. Biar di dalam hatimu harum selalu namaku. Biar saat air surut bahagia.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on the International Maritime Organization officially designates Nusa Penida and Gili Matra Islands a particularly sensitive sea area. Henry Ginting, Director of Shipping and Maritime Affairs at the Directorate General of Sea Transportation, Indonesian Ministry of Transportation, stated on Friday that Nusa Penida and Gili Matra Islands in the Lombok Strait, Indonesia, were officially designated as a particularly sensitive sea area by the International Maritime Organization. Quoting a report from Antara, he noted the designation was formally approved during the closing session of the 82nd Marine Environment Protection Committee meeting at the organization headquarters in London. Henry Ginting emphasized that this achievement was a result of the diligent efforts of the Indonesian delegation in preparing the proposal and fulfilling the necessary documentation requirements. He explained that the designation of Nusa Penida and Gili Matra as a particularly sensitive sea area marks a significant milestone for Indonesia. It also demonstrates the commitment and collaboration between the Indonesian government and the international community in enhancing maritime safety and environmental protection. He noted that the implementation of the particularly sensitive sea area in Indonesia could raise awareness among relevant stakeholders, both international and domestic, about the importance of preserving the marine environment. With the approval of Indonesia's proposal, these two areas became the first in Indonesia to be designated as a particularly sensitive sea area. They could serve as a pilot project for the designation of other potential areas in Indonesia. Henry Ginting added that this is in line with Indonesia's commitment to preserving its vulnerable areas from the negative impacts of international shipping. That was My Indonesia Today.
Tak sadar ku temukan wanita rupawani yang sadarkan dia seorang tiada lain tiada bukan hanya dia. Dia buat ku nyaman dalam dalam hangat pelukan. Dia perasa yang mengerti yang ku rasa, hanya dia. Kan ku arungi tujuh laut samudra, kan ku daki pegunungan Himalaya. Apapun kan ku lakukan untuk dirimu sayang, jaga hati. Kau dan aku sempurna. Semoga ada cara untuk terus bersama. Selalu ku tunggu, tak mau berlalu. Kau dan aku, kan ku arungi tujuh laut samudra, kan ku daki pegunungan Himalaya. Apapun kan ku lakukan untuk dirimu sayang, oh penjaga hatiku. Daki pegunungan Himalaya. Apapun kan ku lakukan untuk dirimu sayang, oh penjaga hatiku, oh, oh, oh. Karena bersamamu semua terasa indah. Bunga gulana hatiku telah hancur sirna. Ku takkan ku lepas, wahai kau bidadariku dari surga untuk selamanya. Untuk selamanya. Untuk selamanya.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listeners, Loksado is one of sub-districts in Hulu Sungai Selatan, South Kalimantan. It is located approximately 185 kilometers from Banjarmasin, the capital of South Kalimantan province. Loksado is located in the Meratus Mountains and is one of the natural tourism areas with cultural attractions of the Hill Dayak community, the indigenous tribe of the Meratus Mountains. For its natural tourism, Loksado is blessed with at least 8 beautiful waterfalls. In this edition, we will introduce one of 8 waterfalls that have become the main destination in Loksado, namely Haratai Waterfall. To get to Haratai Waterfall, which is quite far, you can use private vehicles or public transportation. If you are using public transport, just choose the one that goes to Kandangan the capital of Hulu Sungai Selatan District. From Kandangan to Loksado, the journey takes about 1 hour. After arriving in Loksado, the journey continues to Haratai Village, which is about 20 kilometers away. From Loksado to the location of the Haratai Waterfall can only be traveled by two-wheeled vehicles. The terrain is also quite extreme. The 9-kilometer road climbs and descends with an estimated steepness up to 60 degrees. The width of the road at some points is no more than 1.5 meters, with a ravine or river on one side. For those without a vehicle, you can rent a motorbike or use a motorbike taxi service. The car park is about 100 meters from the waterfall. From the car park, you have to walk and cross the suspension bridge until you reach the counter. You have to pay the entrance fee of 5,000 rupiah per person. Arriving at the location of Haratai Waterfall, you will be amazed by its beauty. Haratai Waterfall is about 20 meters high and has 3 levels. The water discharge is quite large, so it's very difficult to swim around the waterfall, especially if it rains. During the dry season, the water discharge is not too heavy. Below the waterfall, there's a lake that can be used for bathing or just soaking. For bathing, the tour manager provides tires for visitors. For those of you who don't want to soak in the clear water, you can take pictures with the background of the waterfall. Haratai Waterfall is open daily from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. local time. At this tourist location, there is a gazebo to rest while enjoying the atmosphere. There is also a place to change clothes. If you want to spend the night, there are many inns around Loksado. That's Indonesian wonder.
Bikin romantis, bikin paling romantis.
Sambil bermain mata, turun ke hati, hatinya jatuh.
Kita bikin romantis, yang paling romantis.
Sambil gandengan tangan, hati pelukan di angan syahdu.
Awan ikut menari-nari
romantis
sambil merayu, lupakan ada waktu. Oh, angin berbunyi nada seperti lagu cinta, ku tulis tentangmu. Kita bikin romantis, bikin
bikin romantis,
yang paling romantis.
bikin romantis, bikin paling romantis. Bergandeng tangan, bermain angan yang syahdu. Kita bikin romantis, yang paling romantis.
Sambil gandengan tangan, hati pelukan.
Kita bikin romantis,
bergandeng tangan, lalu berdansa sambil pelukan rasa.
Makin romantis,
ikut menari-nari, sambil merayu,
sambil merayu.
Bahkan ada waktu
kita bikin romantis.
VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology.
Hello listener, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Today's topic is Di Bima, which means in Bima. You will listen to a conversation about bolehkah, which means can I. The conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and a local of Bima who own a traditional building at Maria Tourism Village, Bima Regency. After watching a horse race, Chris asks for permission to enter the traditional building. Let's listen to their conversation.
Unik sekali rumah ini.
Dulu bangunan ini digunakan sebagai rumah dan tempat menyimpan padi. Sekarang, bangunan ini hanya menjadi objek wisata budaya dan sejarah.
Bolehkah saya masuk?
Boleh. Mari, silakan.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to this topic. Bolehkah, which means can I? I will say it twice and you can repeat after me. Bolehkah, which means can't. Saya, which means I. Masuk, which means come in. Bolehkah saya masuk? Bolehkah saya masuk, which means can I come in? Unik, which means unique. Bangunan, which means building. Objek wisata, which means tourism object. In this conversation, you hear the expressions bolehkah saya masuk, which means can I come in. In the expression, there is the word bolehkah, which means can I, which is followed by an activity they want to do. In the expression, there is the word bolehkah, which means can I, which is followed by saya masuk, which means come in. So the expression bolehkah saya masuk, which means can I come in, which means asking for permission to enter the building. There's another example. Let's listen to another use of bolehkah, which means can I, to ask for for permission in other sentences. Bolehkah kami datang ke perayaan itu? Bolehkah kami datang ke perayaan itu? Which means, can we come to the celebration? Bolehkah saya duduk di kursi ini? Bolehkah saya duduk di kursi ini? Which means, can I sit on the chair? Maria Village is one of the tourism village in Wawo, Bima Regency, West Nusa Tenggara. In the tourism village, there is the Umalenge. In the language of Mbojo, Umalenge means a house with a high and cone-shaped ceiling. In the past, Umalenge was used as a house and storage for harvest. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Unik sekali rumah ini.
Dulu bangunan ini digunakan sebagai rumah dan tempat menyimpan padi. Sekarang, bangunan ini hanya menjadi objek wisata budaya dan sejarah.
Bolehkah saya masuk?
Boleh. Mari, silakan.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about bolehkah. Bolehkah, which means can I. We hope that this edition will be useful for you too, who wants to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, sampai jumpa.
Apa? Ingin rasa hati berbisik,
bisikin aja
untuk melepas keresahan dirimu. Kok cantik?
Apa?
Bukan ku ingin mengganggumu, tapi apa arti merindu selalu?
Tidak lagi yang ganggu kita.
You are still tuned to the English program from Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present to you Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in this edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Menikahimu or Marry You by Keroncong Kremes. The song created by Indonesian noted musician Yovie Widianto was popularized by music group Kahitna and released in 2002. This song is perfect to be one of romantic songs for couples who are about to get married. The song not only talks about falling in love, but also about commitment, loyalty, and the journey of life together. Well, listener, here is the keroncong version of the song Menikahimu by Keroncong Kremes. Happy listening!
Menikah denganku, menatapkan cinta, melintasi
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, thank you so much for listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile App. Please give your suggestion and criticism through our social media accounts, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. Or send email to voilisteners@gmail.com. voilisteners@gmail.com. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.